This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
Mr. Creeley's writings, poetry, fiction, and criticism have appeared in numerous magazines here and abroad. He is the author of The Whip, A Form of Women, For Love, Poems 1950 to 1960, The Gold Diggers and Other Stories, and the forthcoming work entitled Words. He is a visiting professor of English, currently teaching at UB. I present Mr. Robert Creeley.
I'm concerned about the numbers of you having to stand at the back. I'd suggest that you're welcome to sit here if you want. There's a lot of empty space behind me and around me, so if that would be simpler for you. Also, is there another room that it's possible to sit in and hear this? 231. You can sit there and hear. I guess this can be heard there also. It'll be piped in there. But let's take a minute to make you more comfortable. That's an awful way to have to hear poetry, etc. What is that? I have no program, like they say, for this reading. I want to go back and forth between senses of things that come first in these earlier poems, and then come to different qualifications or different kinds of statement in the subsequent poems. And someone asked me generously to read The Rain, so let me begin with that one. The Rain. All night the sound had come back again, and again falls this quiet, persistent rain. What am I to myself that must be remembered, insisted upon? So often is it that never the ease, even the hardness of rain falling, will have for me something other than this, something not so insistent. Am I to be locked in this final uneasiness? Love, if you love me, lie next to me, be for me like rain, the getting out of the tiredness, the fatuousness, the semi-lust of intentional indifference, be wet with a decent happiness. I want to take this coat off. Can you hear? Does this thing allow you to hear at that right, at that distance? There's one across the page from that I'd like to also call Corey. As I was walking, I came upon, chance walking, the same road upon. As I sat down by chance to move, later, if and as I might, light the wood was, light and green, and what I saw before I had not seen. It was a lady, accompanied by goat men, leading her. Her hair held earth, her eyes were dark. A double flute made her move. Oh, love, where are you leading me now? The Plan. Daytime wonder at the quieter possibilities of slumber, deep sleep, in peace, someplace the mind will yet escape, or else truth, the mind, this time at last, trapped, no voice, no way left, the hand at last can tighten. Why live in the middle of this damned muddle? Why not, lesser thing, find out what another will bring? Woman addressed speaks easily unless she is depressed. Children wiser make their own things unless thrown under the way it was yesterday will be also today and tomorrow. I'm reading an effect from these, from the last poems of this first collection. I like this one. This is, for those interested, this is Louis Zukovsky's would be his favorite. The man, he high five finger speak in simple sound, feels much better lying down. He toes is broken, all he foot go rotten now. He look, he hurt bad, see danger all around, he no see before come down on him. A wish. So much rain to make the mud again, trees green and flowers also. The water which ran up the sun and down again, it is the same. A man of supple, yielding manner might too discover ways of water. I like this one. The name. Be natural, wise as you can be, my daughter. Let my name be in you flesh I gave you in the act of loving your mother all your days, her ways, the woman in you, brought from sensuality's measure, no other. There was no thought of it, but such pleasure all women must be in her as you, but not wiser, not more of nature than her hair, the eyes she gives you. There will not be another woman such as you are. Remember your mother, the way you came, the days of waiting. Be natural, daughter, wise as you can be, all my daughters. Be women for men when that time comes. Let the rhetoric stay with me, your father. Let me talk about it, saving you such vicious self-exposure. Let you pass it on in you. I cannot be more than the man who watches. The first time we are given a chance among the worst, something left otherwise hopeful circumstance. As I spoke to you once, I loved you as simply as that. Now to go back, I cannot, but going on will not forget the first time. You likewise with me must be testament to pain's indifference. We are only careful for such a memory, more careful, I think, than we ever thought to be. I have a great respect for Lawrence's poems, and certainly for all his writing in that sense. But one of his poems that most informs me, one might say, is the hymn to Priapus. What I walk in the something good, something feels below, in the sense that it's the poem apropos of his mother, and it ends with that sense of grief, and sufficient grief makes us free to be faithful and faithless together as we have to be. It's a very moving poem. The way the rhythm of the poem shifts about midway through, as the terms of feeling shift is always been relevant to me. But that's an effect and echo directly of Lawrence, I suppose, that we are only careful for such a memory, more careful, I think, than we ever thought to be. The rose. Up and down she walks, listless, form, a movement, quietly misled. Now speak to her. Did you want to go? Then why don't you? She went. There were things she left in the room as a form of it. He follows, walking. Where do they walk now? Do they talk now? Where they are in that other place, grown monstrous, quiet air as breath. And all about a rosy, Mark discloses her nature to him, vague and unsure. Their roses, here roses, flowers, a pose of nature her nature has disclosed to him. Yet breathing, crouched in the dark, he is there also, recovers to bring her back to herself, himself. The room wavers, and as if a cloud had broken at last, open, and all the rain from that had fallen on them. On them there is a mark of her nature, her flowers, and his room, his nature, to come home to. I'm liking this, so I want to read a few of these and then go to the more recent. Love comes quietly. Love comes quietly, finally, drops about me, on me, in the old ways. What did I know, thinking myself able to go alone all the way? It's lovely. That's great. That's a great sound. The people. Wistful, they speak of satisfaction, love, and divers other things. It comforts, it surprises them, the old remembrances, like hands to hold them safe and warm. So must it be then, some God looks truly down upon them. Let's see. This one I like. Fire. Clear smoke, a fire in the far-off haze of summer, burning somewhere. What is a lonely heart for, if not for itself alone? Do the questions answer themselves, all wonder brought to a reckoning? When you are done, I am done, then it seems that one by one we can leave it all to go on. Friendship. For friendship, make a chain that holds, to be bound to others, two by two, a walk, a garland, handed by hands that cannot move unless they hold. This is a hard one to read, but it's interesting. This was senses of trying at this point, not ever with quite such a simple deliberation, but trying to break up habits of feeling, thus habits of writing. It was the two worked very closely together for me. Assumptions in the one, or rather things that become solidified assumptions or cliches in that sense of one's own procedures tend to create an equal limit in thinking or in feeling in that double. So that toward the end of this particular writing or this point, this would be about the late 50s, that began to be more and more evident to me. So I was trying, in effect, to open to different terms of movement, although using pretty continually these four lines, the quatrain, the gesture she makes to rise. All her flesh is white and tired. Now morning, now night, and sun shines as moonlight. Sun, for her, make do, light with bright moon and love and children sleeping in her tired mind's keeping. And the last poem of this particular book is called For Love, the title poem, and I was thinking about it as yesterday, as a matter of fact. I think it's as accurate. I mean, this now is what, 5 years or 6 years perhaps distant, but it stays the center. In other words, the particular senses of feeling or of location stay the questions or the ways that I'm brought to some kind of sense of where things are, where I am. These are the basic senses of it. It's not overtly a homage to Williams, but it very much makes use of what I learned from him in the sense of both manner, or at least not manner, but technique, or how one might proceed. And also in that way in the character of the writing, very very not parallel, but I mean the point is, when you learn something from someone, you don't necessarily find yourself doing it the way they do it, because if you do it the way they do it, even if you do it most literally, you find yourself doing what you are doing in that occasion rather than necessarily what they are doing. In other words, everybody drives a car. It doesn't matter who taught you to drive the car. You drive it, you know, in the way that you drive it, specifically, no matter you're involved in a very obviously common activity. I mean, some people drive cars some ways, and some people drive them quite another. Although they're all, quote, driving the car. Yesterday, I wanted to speak of it, that sense above the others, to me, important, because all that I know derives from what it teaches me. Today, what is it that is finally so helpless, different, despairs of its own statement, wants to turn away endlessly, to turn away? If the moon did not, no, if you did not, I wouldn't either, but what would I not do? What prevention, what thing so quickly stopped? That is love yesterday, or tomorrow, not now. Can I eat what you give me? I have not earned it. Must I think of everything as earned? Now love also becomes a reward so remote from me. I have only made it with my mind. Here is tedium, despair, a painful sense of isolation, and whimsical, if pompous, self-regard. But that image is only of the mind's vague structure, vague to me, because it is my own. Love, what do I think to say? I cannot say it. What have you become to ask? What have I made you into? Companion, good company, crossed legs with skirt, or soft body under the bones of the bed. Nothing says anything but that which it wishes would come true, fears what else might happen in some other place, some other time, not this one, a voice in my place, an echo of that only in yours. Let me stumble into not the confession, but the obsession I begin with now for you, also, some time beyond place, or place beyond time, no mind left to say anything at all, that face gone now, into the company of love, it all returns. Thank you. I'm going to skip around in these also. I know that some of you had heard a lot of these previously, so I don't want to simply repeat all that, but I'll read it and out and try to get to some of the more recent at some point. One thing that so-called preoccupation in that last poem leads to is the question of didactically or in some sophistication of thought, but the experience, obviously for me, and I know for many men indeed I respect, the endlessly primary question is how are we, or as we are, where we are, and what use of ourselves, in no pragmatic or functional sense necessarily, but what use of ourselves does that either imply or in effect propose or impose? So that the present phenomenon, let's say, of both interest to and even at times will to explore the situation of oneself as a primary instance of this. That sounds so obvious when one states it, but yet it's a circumstance. I remember at the time I was in college, the last thing in the world one would really be involved with was an exploration of oneself. One would be interested to see how, quote, oneself, unquote, related to the apparently common world in many distinctions indeed, e.g. political, social, intellectual, that is, as common possibility of thinking, and in many, many respects indeed, there were very, very sophisticated disciplines for that orientation. But now we seem, as a society perhaps, to be brought to a very primary question indeed. What does the human condition per se offer as experience of the world in its most immediate senses? That is, let's say that senses of program or orientation, which were still very insistently and usefully in that way, perhaps, not because they were insistent, but they were usefully still constructs, a means of constructing possibility or recognizing possibilities within society, so that the agents of history or historical orientation and social development, we might say, or societal development, these were very, very real possibilities of order. Now history, for example, doesn't seem longer that possibility of significant order. It's sort of the end of the ninth. I was thinking of this in reference to teaching, that one of the most evident situations in the writing that say one would be involved in the quote modern period unquote is the fact that the progress that the 19th century was still making use of as a context begins to shatter in the early 20th, and then by the time we get to quote my period unquote, it's pretty evidently gone. And writing of various orders, Beckett on the one hand, Beckett's exhaustion of the resources of logic as a demonstration in his writing is the tail end of that experience of that way of order, that way of creating a term of reality in which to live. And on the other hand, one has the explorations of Timothy Leary as parallel. What is he proposing as a means of declaring, or rather having use of one's own resources as organism in the world, etc., etc.? So anyhow, this has been on my mind. I haven't dealt with it explicitly, you might say, but it's the things like this, for example, or dimensions, little places as size of one hand shrink to one finger as tall as I am sitting down, even smaller. Think if understanding is what you had thought of it, in it you think a picture comes and goes, reflected there, large faces float, but no harm comes to the sleeping princess ever. My voice is a foot, my head is a foot, I club people in my mind, I push them this way, that way, from the little way I see them up the length, for fear of being hurt, they fall. I get something less oblique that makes it... Well, this one, this is a longer one. Distance. Hadn't I been aching for you, seeing the life there such shape as it makes? The bodies fall, have fallen open. Isn't it such a form one wants, the warmth as sunlight on you? But what were you, where, one thought? I was always thinking, the mind itself, impulse of form, last realized, nothing otherwise but a stumbling, looking after a picture of light through dust on an indeterminate distance, which throws a radiator into edges, shining the woman's long length, the movement of the child on her, their legs from behind. Eyes, days, and forms photograph, glazed eyes, dear hands. We are walking. I have a face grown hairy and old. It has grayed to white on the sides of my cheeks. Stepping out of the car with these endless people, where are you? Am I happy? Is this car mine? Another life comes to its presence. Here, you sloughing beside me, me off my self's warmth, gone inward, a stepping car, walking waters on such a place like the size of great breasts, warmth and moisture come forward, waking to that edge of the silence. The falling back, prom is in love or casual friendship. I am so happy to meet you. These meetings, it is meet we write to one another. The slipshod, half-felt, half uneasinesses in particular forms, waking to a body felt as a hand pushed between the long legs. Is this only the form? Your face is unknown to me, but the hair, the springing hair there, despite the rift, the cleft between us, is known, my own. What have they done to me? Who are they coming to me on such informed feet, with such substance of forms, pushing the flesh aside, step in to my own, my longing for them? Some place. I resolved it. I found in my life a center and secured it. It is the house, trees beyond, the term of view encasing it. The weather reaches only as some wind, a little deadened, sighing. And if the life weren't, when was something to happen? Had I secured that? Had I insistent? There is nothing I am, nothing not, a place between I am. I am more than thought, less than thought, a house with winds, but a distance. Something loose in the wind, feeling weather as that life walks toward the lights he left. Song. What do you want, love, to be loved? What wanted love, wanted so much as love, like nothing considered, no feeling, but a simple recognition, forgotten, sits in its feeling, two things, one and one. There's a later poem, like this is later later, which is this. This quote, impulse, unquote, came to this, which I think if one could disappear, this would be the last I would offer as statement, I think. In fact, I was trying to find it. But for one proceeds, it all of the same evening, I remember, the box, three sides, four windows, four doors, three hands. And this one's called a piece. One end, one, two, three. I like that one. I like that. I think that's a massive reason I thought. Well, this they say I was very involved with this with trying to realize, in the sense that poetry for me is a is the possibility of recognizing such things, rather than their argument or their discussion or their, or in some more developed sense, their investigation. The writing becomes for me an occasion that permits this recognition. And I've had acquaintance with various people who are painters how do you know what you know until you until it's there, so to speak, or how do you know what you're painting until you can see it? And in some equivalent sense, that would, I don't really know what I'm going to write until I have a chance to read it. So that these poems or whatever, these are then occasion of that order. A prayer, bless something small, but infinite and quiet. There are senses make an object, and their simple feeling for one. Or one called here, what has happened makes the world live on the edge looking. Let me go to one that I like. Again, I'm awkward to. I hate setting out to make a purposeful sequence, and yet obviously when I'm actually involved in reading it, obviously I use it. It would have been a much better way to proceed. There are two poems that I sort of fall back on as instance of one way of writing. Anyhow, the first of these came and it didn't satisfy, or rather it left things hanging, although it argued, or rather once it was written it had enough evidence to make it hold. But the particular limit that it was recognizing was the one in effect I was trying to get through. One way. Of the two, one faces one. In the air there is no tremor, no odor. There is a house around them, of wood, of walls. The mark is silence. Everything hangs. As he raises his hand to not strike her, as again his hand is raised, she has gone into another room. In the room left by her, he cannot see himself. As in a mirror, as a feeling of reflection. He thinks of something else. All the locked time, all the letting go down into it as a locked room come to. This time not changed, but the way of feeling secured by walls and books, a picture hanging down, a center shifted, dust on all he puts his hand on, disorder, papers and letters and accumulations of clothing and bedclothes and under his feet the rug bunches. And this comes, you can feel it very much in the rhythm, because it moves in the same, absolutely in the same rhythmic set at the outset and then begins to shift. But this then followed, I mean that didn't satisfy what was imminent, so this then proceeds from it. About 10 minutes later, maybe. Anger. The time is, the air seems a cover, The room is quiet. She moves. She had moved. He heard her. The children sleep. The dog fed. The house around them is open, descriptive. A truck through the walls, lights bright there, glaring, the sudden roar of its motor, all familiar impact as it passed so close. He hated it. But what does she answer? She moves away from it. In all they save, in the way of his saving, the clutter, the accumulation of the expected disorder, as if each dirtiness, each blot, blurred happily, gave purpose happily. She is not enough there. He is angry. His face grows as if a moon rose of black light, convulsively darkening, as if life were black. It is black. It is an open hole of horror, of nothing, as if not enough there is nothing, a pit which he recognizes, familiar, sees the use in, a hole for anger, and fills it with himself, yet watches on the edge of it as if she were not to be pulled in. A hand could stop him. Then, as the shouting grows and grows, louder and louder, with spaces of the same open silence, the darkness in and out, himself between them, stands empty and holding out his hands to both, now screaming, "It cannot be the same." She waits in the one while the other moans in the hole, in the floor, in the wall. Is there some odor which is anger, a face which is rage? I think, but find myself in it. The pattern is only resemblance. I cannot see myself, but is what I see, an object, but a man with lust for forgiveness, raging from that vantage, secure in the purpose, double, split. Is it merely intention, a sign quickly adapted, shifted to make a horrible place for self-satisfaction? I rage. You did it, and didn't want to, and it was simple. You were not involved, even if your head was cut off, or each finger twisted from its shape until it broke, and you screamed too, with the other, in pleasure. Face me, in the dark, my face, see me. It is the cry I hear all my life, my own voice, my eye locked in self-sight, not the world, whatever it is, but the close breathing beside me I reach out for, feel as warmth in my hands, then returned. The rage is what I want, what I cannot give to myself, of myself, in the world. After, what is it, as if the sun had been wrong to return again? It was another life, a day, some time gone, it was done. But also the pleasure, the opening relief, even in what was so hated. All you say you want to do to yourself, you do to someone else as yourself, and we sit between you, waiting for whatever will be at last the real end of you. Here's a funny one that I don't understand. But, okay, the circumstances of... I don't mean that one can have use of these things so deliberately, but then things begin to be... obviously, not even situations, but qualifications of feeling become insistent and do stay so evident for long periods of time, let's say, because I could, if I were interested, could I suppose track back, 15 or 20 years now into these statements. But... I don't think that sense of Yeats is be true to the, or I think of Melville actually, Olson told me, wrote with a tacked on it over the table on which he wrote, be true to the dreams of thy youth. And I think it's Yeats who proposes that all this element of one's concerns, or all this fact of one's identity in concern, is usually established, or usually evident more accurately, by the time one's 18 or 19. So I don't think one's going anywhere. I don't think there's any progress in this respect whatsoever. Nor do I necessarily think there's anything that argues more or less of its pertinence, except the fact that it isn't so insistently present. Would be akin to that sense of initiation we were talking about elsewhere. That in the circumstances, at least as reported, of various Indian tribes, the initiation provided a recognition of identity, or an experience of one's identity in a visionary manner, so that one was, ideally at least, revealed to oneself in that particularity. Well, such agencies, again, are largely lacking in the society that we've evolved, so that we use what means, or in a sense makeshift means we can get hold of. And for those who do write, of course, there's one of the large occasions for this discovery. Now, again, I read this tentatively because I don't know. Except that, again, I know it, but I don't have a very clear sense of its implications, although some of them are obvious. It's, anyhow, a sight quicker than that can't get off the dead center of myself. He, I were walking, then the place is, was, not ever enough, but the house, if admitted, were a curiously wrought complexity of flesh. The eyes, windows, the head, roof form with stubbornly placed bricks of chimney. I can remember, I can. Then when she first touched me, when we were lying in that bed, was the feeling of falling into no matter, we both lay quiet. Where was it? I felt her flesh enclose mine. Cock, they say, prick, dick. I put it in her. I lay there. Come back, breasts. Come back. The sudden thing of being no one. I never felt guilty. I was confused, but could not feel wrong about it. I wanted to kill her. I tried it tentatively, just a little hurt me. So immense she was. All the day, lying flat, lying, it seemed, upon a salty sea, the houses bobbing around her, under her, I hung on for dear life to her. But when now I walk, when the day comes to trees and the road, where is she? Oh, on my hands and knees, crawling forward. I've given earlier, I don't mean to bump that so abruptly, but I want to give another sense of that same. You see, perhaps what I'm involved with, obviously, I'm very sophisticated about it. The woman, I have never clearly given to you the associations you have for me. You, with such divided presence, my dream does not show you. I do not dream. I have compounded these sensations, the accumulation of the things left me by you. Always your tits, not breasts, but harsh sudden rises of impatient flesh on the chest. Is it mine which flower against the vagueness of the air you move in? You walk such a shortness of intent strides. Your height is so low in my hand, I feel the weight of yours there, one over one, or both, as you pivot upon me, the same weight grown as the hair, the second of your attributes falls to cover us. We couple, but lie against no surface, have lifted as you again grow small against myself into the air, the air, the third of the signs you are known by, a quiet, a softening silence, the winds lightly moved. Then your mouth, it opens, not speaking, touches wet on me. Then I scream, I sing such as is given to me, roaring unheard like stark sight, sees itself inverted into dark turned, onanistic. I feel around myself what you have left me with, wetness, pools of it, my skin drips. That was pertinent. Oh, just a section of one. I don't want to attempt the whole poem, but the section from one called The Dream. What was the dream? I have forgotten it, if I ever knew it or dreamed it more than thinking. It was to have been. It was, such I thought, thinking what to dream and what to dream. There was hair. It hurt. I felt the pain. I felt I did. I will not change into anything you don't like if you will stay with me as you said you would. Don't go away if this is where we are. I'll see if I can read some more recent. Well, this is the last poem of this particular collection. Fragments. Decorous and forbearing further correction to the empty halls, he announces pardon. No wound deeper than death, he says, not knowing. The fall of feet dancing to sounds within his hearing. Oh, how much he heard. Little song, sing days of happiness, make a pardonable wonder of one's blunders. Oh my love, in other times, the things we are were beauty too, in ways that were, I never knew, were possible, might talk to you, or on, and up and down, seasons and days, might make a place, unlike such awkwardness makes this one awkward, fall apart. A tally of forces, consequent memories of times and places, habits of preparation at other points of time and place. And the hand found the fingers still on it, moved the thumb easily to the forefinger, still worked. What has come? Age, but to know itself needs occasion as no longer young wants a measure. The mirror the mind is reflected in that guise, long habit of much delaying thought to say the terms of the impression. It's not as bad as one thought, but that is relative, not as simple as the boat is leaking. He, she, it, they, or we, you and I, are sinking. Within the world, this one, many quirks accomplished, affected in the thought. I don't know how, I only live here with the body I walk in. Hence I love you, I did, do. A moment ago it was daylight, now dark, I wonder what the memory means, loving you more than I had thought to. No agreement to stay, see it out, the dereliction of fleshy duties, but not burn down the house for whatever rage was once. A birthday. Shall we address it as you, lovely one, singing those intervals of a complex loneliness, a wanting to know its condition. Together is one by one, and the beauty comes of it, a substance of beauty, dripping its condition. I had thought a moment of stasis, possible, something fixed, days, worlds. But what I know is water, as you are water, as you taught me water is wet. Now slowly spaces occur, a ground is disclosed as dirt, the mountains come of it, the sky proceeds, and where there had been only land, now sticks and stones are evident. So we are here, so we are. I'll just read maybe three or four more, and then I think we ought to give it a rest. This is one. I don't know. This is probably from Bunting, actually. Intervals. And Gary Snyder. It's a lovely complex. Who am I? Identity. Singing. Place. A lake. On ground. Water. Finds a form. Smoke. On the air. Goes higher. To fade. Sun bright. Trees dark green. A little movement in the leaves. Birds singing, measure distance, intervals between, echo silence. In fact, let me, because it's so close and I really, my throat's starting to give out, let me read this last one, which I wanted to bring around the center, as one called the whole. The whole. There is a silence to fill, a foot, a fit, fall, filled. If you are not careful, all the water spills. One day at the lake, I took off my bathing suit in the water, peed with pleasure, all out, all the water. Wipe yourself into the tight ass, paper is pushed. Fatty Arbuckle, the one hero of the school, took a Coke bottle, pushed it up his girl. But I wouldn't dare, later felt there, opened myself, broken glass, broken silence, filled with screaming on the bed. She didn't want it, but said after the only time it felt right was I to force her mother, sister, once seen, had breasts, my father, I can't remember. But a man in some building, we were all swimming, took out his to piss. It was large. He was the teacher. Everywhere there is pleasure, deep with hands and feet. I want to. Now I can't wait any longer. Talk to me. Fill emptiness with you, empty hole. Thanks. That's all I can manage.